Riverland has blazed a trail from central Queensland through the northwest. In the early days, they struck out for the Gulf and then followed it into the Northern Territory and the northern part of Western Australia. Names like Durack, Kidman and Tyson have become as important to Australia's heritage as Kennedy and Leichhardt. As Peter Forrest points out, they were still breaking new country.
First of all, in 1872, by a man named Dylan Cox, and with him a drover named Darcy Ewer. Cox was bringing horses up to the Darwin area. It was his intention to breed horses on country that later became known as Cox's Peninsula, just across the harbour from Darwin. He was to breed horses there for the Indian Army. He found that when he got to the Pine Creek goldfields, there was a very strong demand for horses. There was a shortage, and he sold them all off at a great profit. So the remount breeding business never happened. But it is interesting in that Cox, on the way, dropped a number of horses from his mobs. They strayed from his mob and were never remustered, and they bred and ran wild in the Gulf area between Borroloola and Burketown, and the Brumbies that resulted from that were a source of supply of fresh horses for many of the later overlanders who came through in subsequent years. Ewer, who travelled with Cox, was bringing a mob of about 400 cattle through to the gold fields in that same year, 1872. So that was the first movement of stock. The next man to come through that area, and the first large movement of stock, was Buchanan's expedition in 1878. Now, two men named Travers and Gibson had taken up Glencoe Station. They also owned Aramac Station, and their plan was to stock Glencoe with cattle from Aramac Station. They engaged Buchanan as boss drover to take this mob across this virtually unknown country. So Buchanan set out in 1878 with the mob of 1,200 head, and he had in his plant seven white men, one or two Aboriginals. His equipment consisted of three drays. He had about 60 saddle and draft horses, and of course he had to take with him all of the provisions that he needed for the whole journey of almost 2,000 kilometres. Those provisions had to be got in the Aramac district, because the only town in between at that time was Burketown, and Burketown was temporarily abandoned in 1878 due to a malaria epidemic. So there was no real source of supplies. Towns such as Borroloola, which later became supply points for drovers, didn't exist at that time. So from Aramac right through to Katherine, there was no town or source of supply. So his outfit had to be completely self-contained. The route taken by Buchanan was to be followed by many later overlanders. From the Aramac district, he moved a short distance west toward Muttaburra, and then up Landsborough Creek, and then from Landsborough Creek across the watershed between the Thompson River system and the Flinders system, he got onto Walker's Creek, and then to Marathon Station, and then onto the Flinders River. He followed the Flinders toward in a northwesterly direction, and then got over onto the Albert and Nicholson River watersheds. And it was Buchanan rested for a time near the abandoned town of Burketown. There was a grassy plain there near Lake Woods, and it was customary for many later overlanders to do the same thing. They could let their cattle go on this grassy plain, let their men have the last charge of the batteries, as it was at Burketown, and that was the last civilization they'd see until they got to Katherine. From that resting point near Burketown, Buchanan then went in a westerly and northwesterly direction until following the coast about, say, on average 50 to 80 kilometres inland from the coast, crossing the rivers flowing into the Gulf at right angles, and crossing them at around about the point where the brackish tidal water was separated from the fresh water of the headwaters. And the idea, of course, was to keep the stock on the fresh water, but to keep as low down as possible where the water supplies would be relatively abundant. The problem in this was that the risk was that the cattle might get onto fresh water and drink it, onto salt water and drink it. This often happened, and with great losses, and sometimes too cattle were taken by crocodiles. But Buchanan crossed Settlement Creek, and Settlement Creek came in later years to be known as the border between Queensland and the Territory. After Settlement Creek, one can pick up from the writings of these overlanders that they really felt they were going out into no man's land. They were really in the Never Never once they crossed Settlement Creek. The name of that creek has an interesting origin. It was the practice for the men employed by the drovers to demand their wages when they got to Settlement Creek. The reason being that the wages due to them for the work that they had performed in Queensland could not be sued for in a court in the Northern Territory. And quite often, men found that they went the whole trip, got to Katherine, and found that the drover was only prepared to pay them for that part of the journey that was actually undertaken in the Northern Territory. And they could whistle for the wages due to them for the Queensland part of the journey. So to protect themselves, the men would always demand their wages at Settlement Creek. That's when the checks were drawn, there was a settlement made, hence the name Settlement Creek.